Parsha Shoftim describes various systems of authority, institutions, political, governmental, legal, and of course, for a Jew, all these institutions are inspirited and driven by a religious ethic. And when the Torah describes the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin, of course, is not just a judicial body, but is the conduit of legislation in a pre-Talmudic environment in which Torah had not yet been committed to text but existed in oral tradition. They were the ultimate arbiters or arbitrators, the decisors. So the Torah establishes the importance, the significance of their authority, the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh, and the rabbis who are entrusted to interpret Torah Shebaal Peh. Lo tasur mikol sheyagidu lecha yamin u'smol. You shouldn't veer from their instructions or from their authority, right or left. So this is an interesting metaphor for adhering to Chazal's authority, right or left. And of course it yields a very famous, one could say even strident, and certainly provocative statement, quoted by the Sifri. Afilu marin b'enacha al yamin shu smol, val smol shu yamin. Even if they contravene empirical truth, your right hand being your left hand being your right hand. And some people have applied this as a warrant for extending the authority of rabbis and chazal even beyond halachic arbitration, even to non-halachic activities. And this is probably a very important statement in the evolution of what we call in the modern era Das Torah, listening or adhering to decisions rendered by Chachamim, even outside of the scope of pure halachic rendering and pure halachic calculus. But that's a whole different conversation that may or may not be true, but certainly within the halachic decision-making process, part of orthodox behavior is submitting to the authority of Chazal and submitting to the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh, and the harsh treatment of Zaken Mamre displays the importance and the centrality of the authority of Chazal and Torah Shebaal Peh. But getting back to the Ramban provides two examples of listening unconditionally and unquestioningly to Chazal's authority, and I think these two examples are chosen very specifically, and they may explain this very strange metaphor of right and left. Why did the Torah employ the metaphor of right versus left, or yamin v'smol? The Ramban says, even if they tell you to eat something which you feel is forbidden, chelev, which you believe is chelev, and they've, let's say, paskin is not chelev, but it's parallel form of fat, shuman, which is mutter. Or even if they, in this case the Beis Din, instructs you to administer capital punishment to a sinner, and you believe you shouldn't, you believe that he's innocent, and you believe he should be acquitted, even in that instance, you're obligated to submit to their authority. And he quotes, of course, a very famous example of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Yeshua had calculated a different day of Yom Kippur, or a different day to the start of Tishrei, and by extension, a different date for Yom Kippur. He felt that Yud Tishrei would occur on a very different day than Rabbi Gamliel, who was the residing Nasi, or the residing head of the Sanhedrin, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua had to submit to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel may have been very strong-armed in exacting and demanding and extracting this submission, but yet, halachically, Rabbi Yeshua had to appear on a day that he thought was Yom Kippur, personally, and violate his own personal Yom Kippur to demonstrate his submission to the authority of Chazal. And this is described, of course, in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. And the Ramban speaks about this in his response to the Rambam's first principle listed in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam begins his Sefer HaMitzvos with different principles and criteria for how to count 613 mitzvos. And in the first Sharesh, in the first discussion, the Rambam cites the Bahag. Bahalachas Gedolos counted many mitzvos which were rabbinic in nature as part of 613. The Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, disagreed. The Ramban, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachmon, has more of a subtle and balanced opinion. Some mitzvahs d'rabbanan may count as part of 613, others certainly do not. His general inclination is very similar to the Rambam, but he does acknowledge some of the statements or some of the assertions of the Baha'i. So in that whole response to the Rambam's first Sharish, the Ramban elaborates upon the nature of Chazal's authority, why we listen, under which conditions we listen to Chazal. So he quotes this very famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in that discussion as well. Anyway, what I think the Ramban, getting back to his piece in Parsha Shoftim, is describing is it's one thing to submit to Chazal's authority to be machmir, to adopt a gzeira, and I think we've proven ourselves very capable of understanding Chachamim's role in establishing chumros and isurim to prevent us from encroaching upon the isur proper. It's entrenched in the halachic system. It's entrenched in our attitude towards halacha. The first statement in Pirkei Avos, one of the three statements of Shimon HaTzadik, was Asu Siag Latara, and a siag is a fence, and a fence protects trampling upon the roses. So chumra, which carefully applied and carefully maintained, will protect us from encroaching upon the core iser. And we can think about chumros that are very, very early in the halachic process, such as muktza, which the Chachamim instituted to protect various aspects of Shabbos. And we can also think about latter-day chumros, such as kitnios in the Ashkenazic world, to protect against the severity of an Isur Chametz, which carries a sentence of Kares. But what about when Chazal authorize or even instruct behavior, which we feel, so to speak, I'll just use in terminology, is less religious, is more liberal, is more makil? That's a more challenging halachic moment. To be able, on the one hand, to submit to Chazal, even when you feel you may be violating an Isser, people that have deep religious motivation have a hard time relaxing, or in their mind, relaxing their halachic discipline and eating something which they feel is Asser, punishing someone who they feel is innocent, behaving on Yom Kippur in a way which violates Yom Kippur, on a day that you've calculated to be Yom Kippur. As many of us can, that are married can identify with this feeling in the world of Nida, where we want to be so meticulous and so careful about the laws of Nida, and we see certain bodily events which are marginal and borderline to Nida, and if the psak is that the woman is not a Nida, then not only are marital relations allowed to be maintained and to continue, you should. It's normal, healthy, emotionally vital marital interaction. But that's a very hard halachic moment for some people. I think for some people that are more entrenched in the Beis Medrash, and so to speak, halacha becomes objectified. It's a calculus, and the Svarim talk about ideas in abstract. It's a little easier because real-life experiences just become part of halacha calculus, and halacha calculus sometimes leads to one conclusion, sometimes yields a very different conclusion. Sometimes you're machmir, sometimes you're mekil. But for people who aren't engaged in the day-to-day Beis Medrash activity, those can be very challenging moments to allow yourself to submit to a heter, not just to allow yourself to submit to a chumrah. And those are the examples the Ramban cites. And I believe that's why the Torah, partially, the Ramban doesn't say this explicitly, but I believe that's partially why the Torah employs this imagery of right and left. I don't feel that right or left in the medieval period connoted liberal and conservative in the same way that we use it, left being liberal, right being conservative, although that itself is intriguing. How did the right hand or the right flank come to signify conservative positions, and the left flank or the left position come to characterize more liberal, progressive positions? That itself isn't interesting, but just the imagery of two hands and two different choices of action and two different moments of human decision. And sometimes there's an inclination for a person to be mekil, and Chazal impose a chumrah, and submitting to that contrary sentiment and following a chumrah, but just the same, the other hand sometimes wants to direct us towards strict behavior, and the halachic response, whether it's in the form of an actual statement of Chazal or Gemara, or just the halachic conclusion, demands of us to be mekel. And that, ironically, for religiously minded people, can be a harder hill to climb, a harder moment to experience. And I think the left and right imagery captures these two. So those are the only three examples the Ramban cites of halachic submission. They're all submitting to a kula. One is eating something which you think is aser. Two is administering capital punishment and allowing yourself, it's a very dreadful concept that you could be inflicting bodily harm, and in some cases death, upon someone you feel is innocent. That's a very guilt-ridden prospect. It'd be easier for you just, so to speak, be machmir and walk away and, God forbid, not place yourself under that emotional duress and uncertainty and doubt. Have I punished an innocent man? Have I physically harmed someone who I feel was indicted or was acquitted? And then, of course, the classic case of the Gemara, where Rabbi Gamliel demands Rabbi Yeshua's submission, and the submission is not to be machmir, but ultimately to be mekel, and to violate a day which he believes is Yom Kippur.